This podcast is made possible by the generous contributions from listeners just like you. If you have the means and you'd like to contribute, click on the link in the show description to go to my supporter page. Once you're there, it's completely up to you how much you'd like to give. There's no minimum and no maximum and no ongoing charges. Enjoy this episode and thanks for listening to the Saturday Quiz.
This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hi there. My name's John Leary, and this is the Saturday Quiz. In a minute, I'm going to ask my guest 10 general knowledge questions from the quiz in the Saturday paper, and hopefully they'll come up with the correct answers. Usually, I don't name my guests until the end of the introduction, but it's a bit tricky this time since their name is literally the title of the show they're promoting. Michelle Brazier, Songs With My Friends, is on for one night only at the Malthouse Outdoor Stage, and that night is tonight, Saturday the 17th of February. Billed as an evening of stories and duets with some of Michelle's most attractive friends, including Gillian Cosgrove, Jude Pearl, Virginia Gay, Nicholas Kong, Broden Kelly, Ruben Kay, Carla Hillam, and accompanied by Tim Lancaster and Shannon Whitelock, it promises to be a little bit funny, a little bit sad, with an aggressive dose of harmonies. Welcome to the show, Michelle Brazier.
Hello.
Hello. Toot-toot. And this time you've got no friends.
I have no friends. It's devastating. It is devastating.
Yeah, it really is. I usually have two people on the show, on the quiz, but not today. Tell me about your show, Songs With My Friends.
Yeah, so it's some excerpts from, I've recently written a book, John.
Amazing.
And it's some excerpts from my upcoming book, some chapters that I'll read about friendship and relationships, and then just some good damn cover songs with my good damn friends. And
that's, it's gonna so be lovely. Cool.
Yeah. Wow. It's just like a really relaxed environment where you can come and have a bottle of wine at the outdoor stage at the Malthouse and just listen to some nice harmonies. It's going to be cool.
Oh, that's so lovely. Wow. Can you give me any clues as to what the songs are, or are they secrets?
Well, Gillian Cosgrove has done an incredible mashup of Mr. Brightside and Hide and Seek for any nostalgic millennials. There's some really good stuff.
Wow.
Yes.
That's cool.
Yes. It's very exciting. Ruben Kay and I are doing a musical theatre number, as we are wont to do.
Of course.
So are Broden Kelly and I, technically.
Okay.
So we'll see how we go.
Wow. And when does the book come out?
The book comes out in September, and it's available for pre-sale now. It's really cool. I just found out the pre-sales have, like, outsold one of my favorite authors. I was just about to say who it is, but I thought maybe I shouldn't say that. Anyway, it's very exciting.
J.K. Rowling.
J.K. Rowling. My idol.
Incredible. Wow, that's so cool. I did not know that that Songs With Your Friends would include excerpts from your book.
That's, yeah, little sneaky secrets. Yeah, it's fun. Wow. I think it's nice to share, you know. Nice to share,
yeah.
Share what you'll be getting with the book.
For sure. Now, as you may recall, being on this podcast, I ask my guests if they have a favourite piece of trivia.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favourite piece of trivia? Can you think of one?
My favourite piece of trivia is that Jason Momoa is a big Guinness fan, to the point where, like, when he's on set, they have to be like, oi, stop drinking all that Guinness because your job is to be so ripped. And one time in London, I saw him standing in the street drinking a Guinness. I was so excited.
That's fun. That's that's a good bit of personal trivia as well.
Yeah, I literally have a chapter about it in my book because I was so excited to see Jason Momoa. It's the only time I've ever been starstruck in my entire life. Isn't that weird? Just because he's like an action star and because he was drinking the Guinness, which is the thing that he, I think about him doing.
I did not know that about Jason Momoa. I did not know that he was a Guinness freak. Are you a Guinness freak?
I've never had a Guinness.
Really?
Yeah, I've never had a Guinness. I'm doing shows in Ireland this year, so I'll have a Guinness.
Oh, yeah, good.
Looks like a milkshake.
It's so tasty, and it's creamy like a milkshake.
Okay.
They're delicious. Yeah. Oh,
I'll see how I go.
Good. All right. Well, well done. Mm. Great bit of trivia. Shall we crack into the quiz?
Let's go.
Let's do it. Question number one. Ben Hall was a bushranger in which Australian state?
Oh.
Are you familiar with Ben Hall at all?
No, but I am familiar with the Australian states.
So good.
That is helpful. That's yeah, helpful.
Yeah, we're off to a rip-roaring start.
Yes. Ben who?
Ben Hall.
Was a bushranger.
Was a bushranger, yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. He, in 1865, the Felons Apprehension Act was pushed through the parliament of this state for the specific purpose of declaring Hall and his comrades outlaws.
That's so cool.
Based on common law in England, first mentioned in the 8th century, a criminal outlaw did not need to be guilty of the crime for which he was accused. Simply by failing to appear in court to defend himself, he was deemed an outlaw. Meaning, this is crazy, meaning that they would be outside the protection of the law and could be killed by anyone
what?
At any time without warning.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's
and Hall
crazy.
Was ambushed by police who filled his body with 80 bullets, killing him 4 days before the legislation was supposed to take effect.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay, so this sounds like some New South Wales shit to me.
It absolutely is some New South Wales.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, those same laws remained on the New South Wales statute book until 1976.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
How exciting.
So Ben Hall was kind of a little bit like the Ned Kelly of New South Wales.
Oh, my God.
But he wasn't actually, he didn't kill anyone.
Mm. That's good.
His bush ranging was sort of holding up, you know, stagecoaches and mail coaches and whole towns, actually. He and his gang would fleece, but wouldn't kill any of them.
But that's nice.
But, yeah, he met with a pretty rough end.
Yeah, that's tough. That sounds tough for that guy. That's not good.
All right, but very well done. You got it correct.
Thank you. Proud of me.
All right, question number two. Formula One driver Lewis Hamilton will join which racing team in 2025?
Oh, God.
Now, are you a Formula One aficionado?
I have driven a Formula One driver around in a car.
What?
Yeah. So, and now I just have to remember his name because people get pissed. He's blonde. He is like Nordic or German.
Okay.
Just wait.
Schumacher. No.
No, 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 no. Trust me. Okay. This is worth me going onto my Instagram, scrolling
I'm doing
down.
Exactly that.
And finding out this guy's name. I love that people are getting into the Formula One rather than race horses. I'm really loving people doing that. Oh, yeah. Kevin Magnussen is his name.
Kevin Magnussen.
Yeah, I got
in
to
a Renault.
Him. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was this like a
it was for a Renault ad.
Amazing.
Yeah, there's a few of them. There are,
how does that happen?
They just wanted me to be funny with him. And, you know, English is not his first language, so.
And how's your German?
It was a real struggle. My German is shit. I have no German. But he was great, you know. He was a really good sport because I was like flirting with him and like chasing him. Like I got out of the car and chased him. And he really played along. He was really good. Yeah. It was my first ad that I'd ever shot.
Wow.
And it was
that's
like
so cool.
It was great. It was a really good ad and I got a really enjoyable ad to shoot and I got to go to a race course. I love cars. I just don't watch the Formula One because I haven't had time to get into it, and if I get into it, it will take up I know I'll become obsessed with it.
Look, I was asking this question thinking you're not going to have anything to tell me about Formula One, and you've just delivered a brilliant.
Yeah. Well, interesting. Yeah. So my favorite film franchise is The Fast and the Furious. So I'm very car adjacent.
That's right. Yeah.
I refuse to drive an automatic car. I really love cars. I love cars. Yeah.
That's so cool. All right. Well, it's not Renault. I can tell you that Lewis Hamilton is not joining Renault.
Ferrari.
Is the right answer.
Great. I got it.
There you go. Yeah. Bingo. Super work. All right. Question number three. The 2024 Lunar New Year has ushered in the year of the what?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. And this was so recent.
Yeah. It was just last weekend. Yes. Was the,
there were lots of dragons, but I don't know if that necessarily means anything.
I reckon you should just go with that.
A dragon. Year of the dragon.
Year of the dragon.
It is? Oh, great. It's okay, year of the there dragon. Were so Very many well dragons done. That I was there in the city and I was watching the parade, but I didn't, because, you know, often they have dragons anyway at celebrations.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, the year of the dragon.
But
that's exciting.
This year is the year of the dragon. Wow. Do you know what animal you are or what?
No, I don't.
What's it called?
What is it? Zodiac?
Yeah, so like the Chinese zodiac.
Yeah, let me check. Let's find out. What, do you know what you are? Oh my God, I'm the year of the dragon. Oh my God.
Wow.
What is a dragon personality? The personality traits of people born in the year of the dragon are charismatic, intelligent, confident, powerful, and they are naturally lucky and gifted in everything they do. They tend to do it to the best of their ability with high standards.
Wow. That is, could that be Michelle Brazier? Does that describe you?
That absolutely vibes.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that 100% vibes.
Well done.
Thanks. Do you know what you are?
I do know what I am. I am a snake.
Oh my God. And you have the snake.
Yeah.
What is that? What? Let me read you your personality. Okay.
Okay.
Those born in the year of the snake are said to be intelligent and quick thinking, but they can also be dishonest and prone to show off. Though based on Chinese astrology, some of these traits are similar to the characteristics of the actual serpent. Snakes are known to be great at outsmarting their predators and their prey.
That's me. That's me all over. And outsmarting my predators and prey.
Just below this, it says, what are the five characteristics of snake? And I was like, okay, I'll check this out. But it just says, like, no limbs, no eyelids, slender body. I was like, oh, yeah, that's John. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the guy without limbs.
Yeah. That vibes.
Cool. All right, question number four. According to Australian standards, electricity should be supplied at how many volts?
Ooh, 114.
Oh, that's a random number.
Whoa. Well, I'm trying to picture like numbers I've seen in the wild. 140?
Hanging around.
Sorry, I'm guessing early.
No, that's good. I mean, you're not correct.
120. Seven. 400. 600 volts.
Wow. No, you're way high now.
100.
You said, what did you say? You said 120 at some stage.
I said 120 at some stage. And I said,
so 120 is what is in North America. They deliver most small appliances.
120 volts.
That just plug into the wall, they get 120. But in the rest of the world, so in the 80s, the International Electrotechnical Commission introduced a standard to promote accord in global voltages, which meant that in 1993, Australia instigated a 20-year plan whereby our nominal voltage would change from what it was to what it is now, to match up with most other countries.
Is it 240?
It used to be 240.
Oh.
That's what it used to be.
Okay.
And they just had to turn it down a little bit to match other countries.
210, 220, 230.
230 is the right answer.
Oh, my God, really? So wait, so in America they have 140?
They have 120.
And that's why my Dyson Airwrap doesn't work over there.
Exactly. So when you, if you... like I did, lived in the United States and brought some appliances back with you, even though you changed the plug, if you plug it in the wall, it goes nutso.
It's really berserk. Annoying, actually. And I'm going to America soon, and I'm trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do with my hairdryer. I guess I'll just have to use one there.
You do.
Annoying.
Because, if you take one from Australia and it just goes, like, there's no
it's
power.
Dog shit.
It is.
That's my problem with America. It's the power.
Oh, you know what you can do, though, I've since discovered by doing this research for this quiz?
Yes.
If you do take an Australian hairdryer, for example, you can plug it into, but probably the plug will be completely different. But you will get 240 volts from the outlet that services things like their fridges or ovens.
Oh,
or
like, so they have big boy plugs in
yeah,
big boy
so
areas.
They've got like a weird split system where they have 120 but also 240 for the you know, for electric vehicle charges and stuff like that.
Oh, that's so annoying. Cent and
just
Fahrenheit.
Just join the rest of the world,
you're
you know.
So annoying. They're so annoying. They make it easy. I just want to come see the Big Apple with nice hair.
All right, cool. Yeah, Australia now uses 230 volts. Wow. All right, question number 5. How many Grammy Awards has Kylie Minogue won?
2.
Very well done. There's no hesitation there whatsoever.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what they were, what they are?
Padam.
Mm-hmm. Padam. Do you know what that was for? What the award category was?
Oh, no. Is it like best single?
No. Well, sort of. Not really. She was the first ever recipient of the new Grammy in the new category of Best Pop Dance Recording.
Okay.
For Padam Padam.
Congrats. Congrats, yeah. Our queen.
Yeah.
Was the other one spinning around?
No. The other one was in 2004. She won the Grammy Award for Best Dance / Electronic Recording for the album Come Into My World.
Ah. Well, congrats, because she
good
deserves
on her.
It.
Yeah. Do you do any Kylie covers on, or should we expect any Kylie covers on
You know, I might now.
Saturday night?
I might change it now. I might change
it
up. Yeah.
Did you do Come Into Kylie. My World?
Yeah. I've got the hot pants. I have hot pants in my closet, just in case I need them. Do you know? Like in case, like some people have an escape room. What is it? Not escape, a panic room. I have panic pants. I panic hot pants.
Panic Hot Pants.
They're important.
That could be the name of your album.
Panic Hot Pants?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you could have, you know, like a break glass to it in case of emergency with just hot pants in there.
Yeah, actually.
Or break ass? Does that? No, that's probably not good.
We can workshop this later.
Yeah, okay. Sure. We can workshop this later. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You're listening to The Saturday Quiz. I'm joined today by Michelle Brazier, and we are up to question number 6. What is the capital city of Laos?
Oh, I don't know. I am so bad at geography, and I've
Look,
never
everyone
been.
Is. It's quite all right. No one on this podcast is ever very good at geography because the world's a big place. There's
the
lots of
so
bits
big.
To it.
I've never been there. And no. I don't know. And I'm not going to be able to guess it.
Look,
so get over it. Yeah. Panic hot pants.
Break out the hot pants. We need to, it's an emergency. Okay, so Laos is the only landlocked country in Southeast Asia.
Okay.
And it traces its historic and cultural identity to Lan Chang, which existed from the 13th century to the 18th century. As one of the largest kingdoms in Southeast Asia.
Wow.
That gets you no closer to what the answer is.
No.
It starts with V. I think I'm just going to tell you because...
I can't think of any cities starting with V except for Varanasi, which is in India. Venice, which is not... I don't know any V. No, I don't know any cities.
It's not Varanasi. It's not Venice. And it's not Vienna. It is... Vientiane.
Okay. Well, I've never heard of that. So guess what?
Well, now you know.
Now I know.
Vientiane.
We're living, we're learning. Have you been there?
I have never been there.
I've never been to Southeast Asia.
No, nor me.
Yeah.
Okay, great story.
Which is stupid. It's so close. We should go. Let's go.
Let's go today.
Yeah. Let's go today. Ugh, that'll be so nice.
No, you've got a show to do.
Oh, so, God. Yeah, we'll go after
that
the show.
That can't happen. All right, question number 7. Mm-hmm. Are fossils generally preserved in igneous, sedimentary, or metamorphic rock?
Oh.
So they're the three types of rock.
Okay, do you know what the types of rock are?
Sure.
Do you going to tell me? No. Yeah, igneous, metamorphic, and sedentary.
Sedimentary.
Well, most rocks are they don't sedentary. Move around.
Yeah.
It feels like.
That's a catch-all for all rocks.
Yeah. I don't think it's igneous. I think it's igneous.
Oh, you don't think it's?
No, I do think it's igneous.
No, I don't.
And that's what I said. And no, I think it's...
Because let me tell you this. Yeah. Igneous rocks are formed from melted rock.
Yes.
Deep inside the earth.
So that would be stupid.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, because too hot.
Correct, yeah. Too hot.
And metamorphic rocks.
Metamorphic rocks
are
formed from other rocks.
They are.
That are changed by heat and pressure underground.
Yeah.
So also...
Yeah, that's a type of rock.
That's a type of rock,
yeah.
And that is not where fossils.
Famously, no. So it is igneous?
No, it is sedimentary.
Oh, Jesus. Sedimentary.
I was holding your hand the whole way.
My dear Watson, I forgot. I forgot.
Sedimentary rocks are formed from layers of sand, silt, dead plants. And animal skeletons. Yeah, exactly. Sediment.
Oh, God.
Good work. It's all right. You're not a geologist. You don't need to know that.
I'm not a geologist, but one day I will be.
All right. Question number 8.
Wait, do you ever think it's sad that you're never going to be a geologist? Like, I just got sad that I'm never going to be a geologist. Yeah, I was just like, that's not true. I get one wild and precious, and I've never studied geology, and that's it for me.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
I feel sad. My
you
dog.
You feel sad?
Yeah, my dog has just made a face at me, being like...
Can you just go and be a geologist?
Yeah, can you please be a geologist? We'd have a nice house, I assume. Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea. Well, what is a geologist making?
Well, a
fat stacks?
Are they
on the moon?
A little
what
bit.
Are they doing?
Well, no, they're doing things like... Well, they're working in the mining industry.
Oh, no. I don't want to watch
you
no
don't
place
do
for a pretty little thing like me.
You don't want to be a FIFO geologist?
No, I don't want that.
See, you with your one precious, you're following the right stuff.
I thought I could be like Jurassic Park. Like I thought that.
But they're paleontologists.
Yes. Don't you ever get sad that you're never going to be a paleontologist like Russ from Friends?
Yes. To be honest, There was a time, you know, when I was probably about 6, when I thought, paleontologist sounds pretty good. Maybe I'll do that.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, you had a question to ask.
I do.
I'm sorry.
I've got 3 more questions.
Okay.
Question number 8. According to the fable, which creature asks a reluctant frog to carry it across a river, arguing that for both to survive, it can do no harm to the frog? Are you familiar with this story?
No. Is it Joe Rogan? Just thinking of stuff I don't listen
not.
To. Okay. Is it lion?
It's not lion. It's something that could be carried across a river
by
a frog.
A spider.
Oh, you're close. Ish.
A bee.
A bee. Bees famously can do what?
Fly.
Yeah.
Cricket.
A cricket is not so deadly. It's like a deadly cricket.
Oh, okay.
Kind of.
A little lizard. I don't know. Not a spider, not a cricket, and not a wasp or a bee, an ant?
No. Why? You're laughing at me like I'm being ridiculous, but this story doesn't sound very real. This story sounds like some sort of made-up story.
What is a made-up story? The earliest known appearance of this fable is in the 1933 Russian novel, The German Quarter, by Lev Nitterberg.
Oh, God.
It became known in the English-speaking world thanks to Orson Welles and his film Mr. Arkadin, in which Welles, as Arkadin, tells this story.
I don't know this.
A precursor to this fable probably exists from the Persian fable, which is this animal and a turtle rather than a frog.
Which
is from like the 15th century. So even though we only know it from the 20th century.
We don't know it at all. Speak for yourself.
So it's an animal about the size of like a big spider with a sting in its tail.
Oh, scorpion.
Yeah, that's the right answer.
Oh, scorpion and the frog.
Scorpion and the frog. And so the story goes like this. It's a scorpion wants to cross a river and it sees its old friend, the frog, and it goes, hey, frog, can you give me a ride across the river? You know, I can't swim. And the frog goes, I don't think so. You're a scorpion. You're going to kill me.
Yeah, classic.
And Scorpion's like, no way, dude. Honestly, that would be bad for both of us because if I kill you, then I will drown because we'll be midway across the river.
True.
So the frog's like, oh, all right, fair enough. You make a lot of sense. So on your hop on my back and swim. And then halfway across the river, the frog's like, ow.
What?
You just stung me. You just killed me. And the scorpion's like, I know. I couldn't help it. I'm just, that's my nature.
Oh.
Isn't that bleak?
That's incredibly bleak.
Yeah.
Get over it, scorpion. Get a fucking therapist, mate. Like, that's your friend.
Yeah.
He was helping you. Yeah. I hate this story. Oh, I reckon they were both men. I reckon.
Probably. In the story, they probably are. Yeah. A scorpion will do anything except go to the therapy.
Yeah.
A
scorpion will literally kill you and themselves rather than go, oh, that's actually quite bleak if we really follow that. Let's not pull that thread because that happens often.
Yeah. Okay. Moving right along then. Question number 9. True or false? Australia has never elected a prime minister aged 70 or older. And there's bonus points for naming the oldest Australian Prime Minister to take office and for naming the oldest serving Prime Minister.
I think we probably have elected one.
You think we've elected a Prime Minister aged 70 or over?
I think so. They all seem 70 plus.
I can tell you
in terms of their vibe.
Their average age, so all the Prime Ministers that we've had, their average age is 52.
What? No way.
True story.
That's wrong. They're lying about their age. There is no way. There's no way. Maybe Julia Gillard was 52. That's it. I am not hearing that.
You're not believing it?
100 years old. Look at those people. Look at them. Look at those withered old people.
But they...
Anthony Albanese,
when they
maybe
start, though,
in his 50s, late 50s. I am not, no way.
No?
Absolutely, no.
What do you think Anthony Albanese is?
I don't know, 59.
Oh, you're very close. He's 60.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Very well done.
Yeah. But I feel like John Howard was elected when he was 95. Did you see that man?
How old was Scott Morrison?
Scott Morrison? In human years? I don't know. It's hard to tell. Like 400, 500? Scott Morrison?
Yeah,
400, 500.
His soul is that old.
Yeah.
He's an old soul.
Trapped from a curse.
All right, but we're no closer to... Well, You feel like...
I know in my bones that the answer is they're all older than that. And you are telling me these, like, facts.
And you're still refusing to...
And I still refuse to believe
to, you. To move from yes. your initial position. All right. Well, then I'm afraid you get that question wrong.
That's it is, fair enough.
It is true that we, that the Australian public have never elected a Prime Minister aged 70 or older.
Wow.
But you still have a chance with the two bonus points.
Okay.
For naming the oldest Australian Prime Minister to take office and for naming the oldest serving Prime Minister.
Okay.
The so oldest... someone was 68 when
all?
He took office.
Malcolm Turnbull.
Is incorrect.
I don't know. It's just a yeah, man sure. I know.
Yes. Look, you probably don't know this person. He was...
Wait, will you tell me Tony Abbott is younger than 70 years old? At the time.
Tony Abbott, yeah.
How old was he?
When he took office?
Yes. I expect he you to know was. This off the top of your head.
Yeah, well, the way that I edit this it'll sound like I knew. Anthony Tony John Abbott of the Liberal Party was 55, nearly 56
what?
When he took office.
Oh, yeah. My God. Sorry to get political on the pod, but I think that guy sucks.
Wow.
I'm not afraid to say it. Controversial opinion. I don't like Tony Abbott, so sucked in.
So this person who was the oldest Australian Prime Minister to take office
yes.
was, he served as the 18th Prime Minister of Australia from 1967 to 1968. He was the leader of the Country Party.
Oh.
And he served as Prime Minister in a caretaker capacity following... the disappearance of
oh,
Prime Minister Harold Holt.
Of course.
So he just came okay. in for a little bit.
Okay, just came in for a little bit. And do we yeah. think he did away with him or no? Imagine if Holt hadn't died.
No, I'm just going to tell you his name because you don't know. Do
I
you?
Don't care about this man.
John McEwen is his name.
Oh, I've heard that name. There's a university.
Oh, there you go.
I think. Oh, or yeah. something. McEwen or something. Hall.
There you go.
McEwen Hall is that's a place I've heard of or been or seen on a sign. And you know what? That's beautiful. Good for him. He got that hall.
He was 68 when he took office.
That's crazy.
And now the oldest serving Prime Minister.
Oh.
So this is someone who was Prime Minister for the longest time.
Oh.
He is our longest serving Prime Minister. And so he was the oldest when he stopped doing it. He was 71 when he finally went, it was just days after his 71st birthday, when he went, that's it, I'm out of here.
I don't know.
He was Prime Minister twice, and he served for a total of, I think, 18 years.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I actually don't know. The only, because I remember growing up being like, John Howard is the Prime Minister.
Mm.
But I don't think he was Prime Minister for 18 years.
No, he wasn't. He is the second longest serving Prime Minister.
Mm.
And this guy, you definitely would have heard of this guy.
Yeah.
Because he's like the father. Well, he is the father of the Liberal Party. He's like the granddaddy.
Of the contemporary Liberal Party.
Well, of the Liberal Party at all.
Oh, like he
created the party.
Oh, I probably don't know.
He made the party.
He invited everyone to this party. Well, that turned out well, sir.
Sir is correct. He is.
He's a sir.
Knighted.
I don't know and I don't care. Tell me.
Okay. His name is Sir Robert Menzies.
Oh, yeah. Seen that on a.
Seen that on a thing?
Paper. I don't give a fuck. Prime ministers are so annoying. They don't do anything. They just get into power and they're like, murr, 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 and they're in the pocket of just fucking everyone, so they can't do anything. It's so exhausting. Oh, my God.
Okay.
Sorry.
Let's move along. Final question. Question number 10. What, starting with B, is also known as the white whale?
Oh. Yeah,
it's in there. It's in the dark recesses of your mind.
Oh.
Grab it.
Ah.
It's a white whale. It's a kind of a smallish whale, a little bit bigger than a dolphin.
What is it called?
They live in the kind of Arctic. And what's weird about them, get this, they don't have a dorsal fin.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Would they just... Wait, it's... The beluga.
Very well done.
Beluga
whale is the right answer.
They're gorge.
Aren't they sweet?
Yeah, they're thick queens.
They're thick queens with like, they've got big melon heads.
Yeah, I love them.
Yeah, because they've got their super echolocation situation going on in their big head.
Yeah. There are so many animals that I didn't think existed, and they were one of them. Narwhals?
Well, funny you should mention narwhals, because those are their closest relative.
Are they?
And possibly, they're not 100% sure, but possibly they can interbreed. So you can have a beluga narwhal.
I love that. Imagine that, like the little bubble head and then the little... You know it's a tooth? The horn?
Yeah, that's right.
Isn't that mad?
Yeah.
Anyway, I can't stop thinking about them. I also think toucans aren't real and...
You just thought it was like for the breakfast cereal kind of deal?
I thought it was like unicorns. I was like, unicorns? Okay, all the family, all the things that I put in the family of unicorns are the toucan, the beluga whale, narwhals, bats. Yeah, these things don't seem real. They don't seem real in any way. Oh, my alarm went off. They don't seem real.
Bats aren't pretty nuts.
I love bats.
You know, the only mammal that can fly. That's crazy.
They're beautiful. I live in the flight path of the bats in Melbourne. Yeah? And we sit out at dusk and watch the bats, and they're so close. And I often, I go bushwalking a lot, and I go to where they live at the boathouse. It's very, very nice.
I know it.
They're cuties.
Listen, Michelle Brazier, you have done incredibly well. For someone all by their lonesome.
Thank you. Celine Dion's All By Myself, which I am singing at the show.
Are you?
Yes.
Well, that brings us around very nicely to your show, which is Michelle Brazier, Songs With My Friends.
Songs With My Friends.
How lovely.
What it says in the box.
I wish you so much the best. Thank you. Break legs.
Thank you. Very kind. I appreciate it. It's going to be great.
See you next time. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Saturday Quiz. Thanks so much for listening. Extra special thank you to my guest this week, Michelle Brazier, for going it alone. If you are anywhere near Melbourne tonight, Saturday the 17th of March, then you should get on down to the Malthouse Outdoor Stage to see her and a bunch of her friends sing delightful songs. As always, the questions in this quiz are written by the brilliant Cindy McDonald, and my thanks go to her. This episode was recorded on the lands belonging to the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. I pay my respects to their elders past and present and acknowledge their traditions of sharing knowledge, stories and song for millennia on this land. My name's John Leary, and I'll have more questions for you same time next week.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.